Welcome to Real Estate and You. I'm your host, Scott Allison. I've got Randy Harris with me. He's one of our good constables here. He's got some very, very important information, whether you're a tenant or whether you're a landlord. There's stuff you really, really need to know and you really need to hear. Hey, Randy.
Hey, how's it going today?
Good. Hey, man, I know how busy you are, but I really, really appreciate it. Folks, Randy did a great job at one of our luncheons, and he really had some good information, and he's gracious enough to come share that with you. If you don't mind, if you'd kind of just, I'm going to let you go and just give that information. Folks, if you're a landlord or you are a tenant, I'm going to tell you right now, there's something you need to know. This is legal law. This is it, and this is the real deal. Randy, tell us.
All right. Well, there's a few things that we've been seeing come in the JP offices, and us constables are having to deal with as well. When the landlords are filing evictions, a lot of times they don't want to serve everyone that is named on the lease agreement. Whoever's obligated on that lease agreement has to be served. If they don't pay the service fee for the second or third person on that lease, when it comes time to actually do a writ of possession or a move out, as we call it, those persons do not get moved out that are not served, only the person that is served. So when they are filing their evictions, they really, really need to concentrate on getting everyone that is on that lease agreement served. Then another thing that we have noticed that has come into play is when we go to serve these eviction lawsuits, there's missing house numbers or missing apartment numbers or things like that. And we can try to figure out what address it is or if that is the correct address based on the numbering of the houses. But when it comes down to it, if we cannot find them and we have to do what's called an alternate service, which we tape it to the door and mail it, we can't swear on an affidavit that we knocked on that door with that house number. So if landlords, if you're listening, and you do not have those house numbers on your rental properties, you need to get them on the properties just in case something legal like this comes up. Because we have to be able to swear on an affidavit that we actually knocked on the door of the address that was there.
And you, Randy, I was thinking that just for 911, too, for all kinds of reasons, there needs to be a legible address.
Absolutely. For 911, and if there is an alleyway, you should also post the numbers in the back of the alley as well on the house. That way, when the police officers drive through the alley, they can also see that house number.
You know, that's a great point, and I never thought of it. You know, especially like in Southland.
Yes.
If you go to those alleys, I mean, I'm pretty familiar with that area. From the rear and the wood fences, they all look the same.
They do. They really look the same. And I actually worked that area when I was on the police department years ago, and that was the trouble going up and down those alleys saying it's behind in the alley behind this house number. Well, some places had numbers and some didn't, but if everyone had house numbers in the back on the alley, then they could get help a lot quicker.
Hey, perfect information.
Some other things that we're seeing is illegal cutoffs of utilities, illegal lockouts, and then some repair and remedy issues as well. And what I want to say is that the Legal Aid of Northwest Texas has ceased taking family law matters so that they can take other legal cases, and they're really focusing on the landlord-tenant issues, and they have been quite successful in prosecuting landlords over some of these issues, such as the illegal lockouts. We get what we call a writ of reentry, and that is one of the civil papers that we are given authority to use force to put the person back in the property if you have locked them out.
Well, you kind of just, what is an illegal lockout?
An illegal lockout is on a residential property is where you have not posted a place where that the person or the tenant 24/7 can come get a key or a phone number they can call, and you respond with a key in 2 hours. You have to give them a key to the property to let them back in if you lock them out, regardless of whether they have paid their rent or not. Now, a lot of landlords don't do that. They just lock them out, and we get the writ of reentry. We go serve it on the landlord. We give them a chance and say, here's the writ of reentry. You're served. This is a court order. You need to go let these people back in. If you don't, there's two options. We can go kick the door in. We're not liable for it. You're going to have to pay for it. Or we can tell the judge, and he will issue a writ of attachment, which is basically a civil arrest warrant, have us bring you before the judge. And then the judge will decide whether to hold you in contempt and put you in jail for 3 days or fine you $100. We have not had anybody that has not complied with it, but you know, there are possibilities there. So if you think about locking a tenant out, you really, really need to take seek legal advice before you do anything like that, just so that you're not in the wrong. Now, a lot of landlords, they will think, well, they're on the moral high ground. They haven't paid their rent. Because I'm on the moral high ground, I can lock them out. Just because you're on the moral high ground doesn't mean that you're doing it the legal way. So always, always seek legal advice before you do a lockout. Along that line, utility cutoffs. You cannot cut off water, wastewater, electricity, or gas except for bona fide repairs or a bona fide emergency. And we are finding landlords that have done that. There was one case filed here against a landlord that illegally cut off the utilities, and that results in $1,000 and month's rent payable to the tenant.
Wow.
And that has recently happened, and there are several more pending right now where the landlord has illegally cut off the utilities. So, again, before you go cutting anything off or locking anything up, you need to make sure that you get good legal advice. And when we have these landlord-tenant seminars, the attorneys that do the presentations on the cutoffs, there is a way you can cut electricity off, but their recommendation to the crowd was do not even attempt to cut it off because there's too many landmines that you can hit as a landlord doing that will cost you money. And they do not recommend cutting people's utilities off.
What you're saying, there's a system in place and you better go by the rules.
Absolutely. There's a system in place to protect the tenants, protect the landlords on both sides, and you need to follow the rules. Even though you think you have the moral high ground, you do not have the legal ground. Now let's move to repair and remedy. The landlord does have an obligation to repair the property and keep it in good shape. We're seeing a lot more of that where the tenant requests repairs and it doesn't happen. And what the tenant does is they will think they're on the moral ground because we haven't received our repairs on our property, so we're going to withhold the rent. Well, there's no legal way to withhold the rent in the state of Texas. You have to pay your rent. So they get evicted, and they try to bring up in their eviction hearing, well, he didn't fix this, so withheld the rent. The judge can't hear that. All the judge can hear is whether you did pay the rent or you didn't pay the rent. Can't hear why you didn't or why you did not. So the tenant's kind of getting in a bind there. But what you were saying a while ago, there is a legal method to go about doing this. And they can start putting their request for repairs in writing. Once they start them in writing, a certain clock starts ticking that they have to do this. And once they put them in writing the way Chapter 92 of the Property Code tells them to, then they have a couple of options. They can, the tenant themselves, can hire a contractor, come in, make the repairs, take the bill, give a copy of the bill to the landlord, and claim all the way up to a month's rent. Can't go over that, or $500, whichever is greater off the rent. So that's one option. The other option is they can file a repair and remedy lawsuit, and that can go to $1,000 and a month's rent, plus actual damages and attorney's fees. So it can get quite costly.